You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Jungle Deep.
The podcast that explores the tropical lifestyle. Hello and welcome to the podcast, Jungle Deep. This is your host, Dr. Jones. We are on safari, and I'm here with you to learn, to have fun, and to explore the jungle.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Petco, where the pets go. Petco, where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail-wagging, fur-flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco, where the pets go.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well-informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well-read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership Plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. Today's conversation is with the man at the center of an absolutely huge website about the originator of the Tarzan character, Edgar Rice Burroughs. The creator and webmaster for this site is Bill Hillman. And Bill is a professor, a musician, an expert at all things Tarzan, and an all-around great guy. His site is called herbzine.com. Bill took some time out of his busy day to have a conversation with us on Jungle Deep. I am really pleased to have with me one of the foremost experts about Tarzan, a fellow who is really at the center of the Tarzan universe, Bill Hillman. Bill Hillman runs many websites, actually, that deal with Edgar Rice Burroughs, who was, of course, the author of and creator of the Tarzan character and the author of the books. Bill manages and runs these websites, which are full of material. I think I heard 20,000 pages. We'll check with him and see if that's right. But Bill, welcome to the show. Welcome to Jungle Deep.
Well, great to be here. Great to be in the wilds of your jungle. I can hear the drums and all the activity going on.
Oh, can you? We haven't added that in yet.
I have a very vivid imagination.
Very good of you. Well, Thanks for being with us. It's going to be fun because you were in touch with a lot of people that have a lot to do with Tarzan, and you run the foremost website that deals with all the Tarzan stories. And tell me first, before you get into all of that, how you personally got connected with Edgar Rice Burroughs and Tarzan. How did you get started in this?
Well, I go back, you know, as a Burroughs fan, back a long ways, back to 1950, I guess, and the Sunday pages and the radio shows and comics and all that kind of stuff. So I was a big collector, and I thought I was the only one on Earth that was so active until the internet hit, and then I realized that there were many other weirdos such as myself. And then I was contacted by the Edgar Rice Burroughs Company in Tarzana, California, to ask if I would take over the Disney site. The Disney had a Tarzan site for a little while after their animated film. So I did that, but then I had my own Burroughs-related website, which is herbzine.com. It just went on from there. Mm. So I've done a lot of work with the Burroughs people, and they've shared a lot of things out of the warehouse, and I've documented a lot of things.
Well, you certainly have. Just for our listeners, in case, for any that are as dense and slow as I am, it took me a little while. Herbzine, Herb, stands for Edgar Rice Burroughs. And, in fact, I think heard that he's referred to with that acronym fairly often. Is that right?
Yeah, well, it's certainly a lot handier and shorter than writing or speaking out Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Right. So
ERB is the acronym that is often used.
And zine as in a magazine.
Yeah, that's
only,
right.
Of course, this is online. This is on the internet. So it's a big internet site, one that anyone's interested in Edgar Rice Burroughs or Tarzan should be sure to visit. When did you start doing that? You said you took it over from Disney. When did you start working on that website?
I started Herbzine in 96, and I sort of took over the...
Oh, even before.
The Disney Tarzan in the early 90s, early 2000s. Uh-huh. Tarzan is only a small part of the interest.
Well, go ahead and tell us a little bit more about the Herbzine world.
Well, Burroughs' first book was a Mars book. He wrote that in 1911, and it was published in a pulp zine in 1912. So, and the same year, he published the first Tarzan novel, Tarzan of the Apes. Now, this is the 100th anniversary of the creation of his first book, Princess of Mars, the John Carter book, and Tarzan of the Apes. And he wrote, of course, many, many other genres, and he had many other fantasy worlds that he created, including at the Earth's core, and Venus, and of course, Mars, and his Africa is sort of a fantasy place as well. You know, it's full of lost civilizations, and he never visited Africa. He didn't want to spoil the fantasy, so he created his own Africa.
But from what I read, he did travel quite a bit. He was a very intelligent man.
You know, I find his life really to be more fascinating than the creations that he did in literature. He was at a military school in Michigan, eventually became a Gatling gun instructor there and a geology instructor, and he was a football quarterback and played baseball there. And his teen years he spent in Idaho as a cowboy on his brother's ranch. And later as a gold miner with their gold dredging operation.
And this would have been around the turn of the 20th century, I guess.
This was around in the 1890s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then he enlisted in the U.S. Army and served as a trooper in the U.S. Cavalry down in Arizona, chasing Apaches and renegades and things like that. And he had some heart problems, so he tried many, many different occupations till he found what he really liked.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere he sold something door to door.
Well, yeah, sold encyclopedia type things, and he worked for almost a year for Sears Company in charge of scores of workers in a mail order thing, and really successful.
Right, yeah.
But again, he was looking for something, so he left that on business ventures of his own. Around the time that he wrote his first story, the John Carter story, he had a venture where he was selling pencil sharpeners, or he was distributing them. At one time, pencil sharpeners were a big deal. You know, like we're not talking about the little hokey things we have today; they were great big cast things. But he wasn't doing too well, and then his family were sort of hard up. So he just on old letterheads he scribbled this fantasy story about Mars, and he was surprised to see that it was accepted. And that was the start of his writing career.
So he really had no specific training or background in writing at all. He one day decided he was going to start writing this story, and he was kind of a success from the get-go. Is that what happened?
In his early years at the Michigan Military Academy, he edited the school paper and magazine, and he had written poems submitted to Chicago papers under a pseudonym before this. He was a storyteller. He entertained the whole family with these far-out, wonderful stories. So he was always a storyteller.
Okay. You say the first book, Mars, came out in 1911?
Well, he wrote it in 1911, Under the Moons of Mars, which later became A Princess of Mars.
Oh, okay.
It was picked up by All Story Pulp magazine and published in 1912.
But it was also 1912 when he came forward with his Tarzan character.
He got all excited. Hey, I've got this career. And the publishers were really happy with his work. And they said, well, why don't you write a medieval thing about medieval England? And he went to the Chicago Library and did tons of research and came up with a story called The Outlaw of Torn, which was his second book. They rejected it, and he did rewrites and rewrites, and it wasn't published until years later, but it was one of his favorite novels. But then while this was going on, he said, well, you know, I got this damn fool idea about some baby raised by apes in the jungle. He had all these imaginative things. In fact, his first name, pen name, he wanted to be published under the name Normal Bean, indicating that he wasn't nuts. He had a normal head. And the publishers ruined the whole joke. His first pulp story came out as Norman Bean. Mm. And he was ticked off at this one. So from then on, he wrote under Edgar Rice Burroughs.
I see. Well, I think that's pretty remarkable. He was very productive there in 1911, 1912, that he wrote all of this and came up with Tarzan, too, and wrote that and published that first book in 1912.
Well, his first years were really productive. You know, he created so many worlds, like At the Earth's Core, a whole series of Pellucidar, saying that the Earth was hollow and it had a sun in the middle, and everything was prehistoric in nature back under there.
This stuff reminds me of Jules Verne's kind of stuff. I wonder how familiar he was with Jules Verne.
It was a little more difficult to pick up on foreign authors at that time. You know, not as easy as today.
Sure.
But I know the Chicago papers were full of news stories theorizing such a thing at the time. It's hard to know where his sources were, but it was mainly he took ideas that were boring from anyone else, and he turned them into really captivating stories. He had a large library of his own. In fact, I have 1,100 of his titles on the website, and I've done bios on the authors that had written those books, and cover art and all sorts of stuff about the books in his library. It's just herbteen.com/Dan, D-A-N, which was short for Danton Burroughs, who I worked with until his death in 2008. And that was Edgar Rice Burroughs' grandson, Danton Burroughs.
Tell us quickly here, if you can, I mean, it's a big story, but we have such limited time, a little bit more about the rest of Burroughs' life, especially as it relates to Tarzan. He ended up writing several more Tarzan books. How many books did he write on Tarzan? I think that it's a fascinating story. It's one of those American success stories that just a few years after that book became a hit, somebody wanted to come along and make one of those moving pictures about it. And it made him an instant millionaire, did it not? As I've read, he very quickly bought up the whole L.A. basin and created this place called Tarzana. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
He was always ahead of his time. He was on the cutting edge of technology. As you get into his life, you'll see that carried on right all through his life. He was in the cutting edge of radio, different books, and the first adventure comics, and television. And so he was very interested in this new phenomenon of the talking pictures, and he tried a number of treatments or scenarios that he pitched to different movie companies. And the big one, of course, was Tarzan, and it was picked up in around 1917, and it was released. The Tarzan film was released in 1918, starring Elmo Lincoln. Much of it was filmed in Louisiana, around Morgan City, down in the Delta swamps and bayous of Louisiana. In fact, we were down there a few months ago for a big Tarzan festival where they were celebrating the making of that film. So he saw the future in California. He lived in Chicago. As a form of adventure, he took one of the first automobile trips from Chicago all the way across the mountains to California and surveyed California in around 1915. He liked what he saw, of course. He was selling a lot of books at that time. So he got into the Hollywood situation, decided he was going to move. So he bought a large holding from Harrison Gray Otis, the newspaper magnate of L.A. papers. They moved into Tarzana Ranch. They renamed it Tarzana.
And from the pictures I saw, this was like a huge Spanish...
Big hacienda.
Yeah. It was huge and beautiful and definitely Spanish. It's kind of a leftover from another era.
Otis had planted exotic trees all around, just wonderful tree growth all around. The Tarzana Mansion was on a hill, and there's very little of it that remains today. In fact, they're bulldozing trees down. They lived there for quite a while, and he got into different forms of livestock, and he was a great horseman. Used to ride every morning, go out riding across this ranch holding. And a lot of it is left in its natural state in Tarzana. You can still visit it as a form of park area. He was a great outdoorsman in his own way, and he loved horseback riding.
And he continued to write Tarzan novels throughout his life, did he not?
Yeah, well, he tried to break away from it. You know, he wanted to write other things. You know, just how far can you take the jungle man traveling through the rainforest? So he tried other things, but the public wanted Tarzan. The publishers wanted Tarzan. The movies wanted Tarzan. So he wrote over 20 more in the Tarzan theme, and he brought in lost civilizations in Africa. And he had all sorts of semi-science fiction things in there. Mm-hmm. So his Africa was an exciting place.
Yeah, as if it wasn't exciting enough already. He did juice it up a bit, didn't he?
Well, not much was known about Africa. It really was the dark continent at the turn of the century.
That's a good point, yes. I think it was pretty much a mystery to a lot of people, and I think that's a big part of the allure of Tarzan.
Yeah, well, he spent a lot of time reading stories, accounts of explorers in Africa. It was really the dark continent. He was criticized in his first Tarzan release for putting tigers in Africa. He took a lot of flack for this in the book of his Change to Lions, but he even got that out of his research, because in South Africa, the Afrikaners and different people there had the name for any kind of a cat in that area was tiger. So he picked up on that fairly honestly, but he's perhaps unfairly taken some flack on it.
What's going on these days about Tarzan? And I'd like to direct this conversation a little more towards the, well, environmental questions, because we've kind of raised these on our website for Jungle Deep. Questions like, can Tarzan help save the rainforest today? Does he deserve the attention he's getting by environmentalists, both Jane Goodall, who was a special guest of honor at your what's called a Dum Dum, it was a centennial celebration of Tarzan and others. Jane Goodall was the guest of honor, and I found a blog entry by Russell Niedermeyer from Conservation International stating how much influence Tarzan had on him as a child, and he felt that Tarzan had contributed to many, many people getting into the wildlife conservation and environmental movement and so forth. What do you think Tarzan's role has been and can be, maybe, in relationship to environmentalism, environmental concerns?
Well, I think anything that draws attention to the situation and realizing that Tarzan was pretty much the first environmentalist way before his time. As you mentioned, he influenced a lot of people who have turned that love of the mystery of the rainforest into careers, such as Jane Goodall. Anything that draws people's attention to the situation, what better role model can you have than Tarzan? And I don't mean the Tarzan of the movies that were not, they were not like the Burroughs books. Anyone who has been a fan of Tarzan in the Burroughs books sort of cringes when they see all the Tarzan movies. They're not really related. He never swung on vines. And there was never a chimp in the Tarzan books.
Never.
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The Mangani who raised Tarzan were almost like a missing link. They had a language. They walked upright. They were quite large. They were like refined gorillas, I guess. They were not gorillas. They were not chimps. They were like a if, well, for want of a better word, a missing link. As I say, anything that draws people's attention to a love of the wild and preservation of the wild and preservation of the animals has got to be good.
Well, I think you hit it right on the head there. I think the very fact that through these stories, so much attention was directed towards the jungles, people really began to think about them. And more than that, I think Burroughs did a pretty good job of being, he was pretty even-handed, I thought, in his treatment of, you know, that balance between the life and death struggle and the beasts of the jungle and the things they had to do to survive. And at the same time, dealing with Tarzan learning not to kill, he didn't kill for any joy in killing. I think he really put the natural world in a very realistic perspective where death was a part of life and it was just a part of the way things had to be. And there wasn't waste. Animals themselves don't waste much. You know, it's human beings that seem to be so wasteful when you compare our behavior with those of the other beings on the planet. We generally, animals take what they need, but they don't kill for the fun of it or for political reasons, and they don't waste. Their consumption is not wasteful. It's just only what's needed. And I think he expressed those kinds of ideas in his writing quite a bit.
Yes, you're right there. As I mentioned, that he provided a mystique, I think, of Africa and the wild.
Oh, he definitely did that. I think, the mystique of the jungle is something that is all throughout his books. And in fact, it's a little bit heightened. It's a little over the top sometimes, but that's what we call entertainment.
Yeah,
but he was really good at that. And no doubt that did inspire a lot of people. I'm looking forward. I'm kind of on a personal little hunt to find more environmental leaders that will tell us about their early experiences with the Tarzan character and how it inspired them, because I suspect there are quite a few. I think Russell's right. I just haven't heard from these people yet, but I'd love to get them all on the show.
It wasn't only environmentalists he encouraged. It was so many people in the sciences, like Carl Sagan, future astronauts, and they all were influenced by the Burroughs science fiction books on two different levels or two different genres. He had fantastic influence on today's culture.
Well, I'm sure that's right.
You are listening to Jungle Deep.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Every pet is unique. Maybe they're gray in the muzzle, yet young at heart. Maybe they're growing out of the puppy stage and into their paws and ears. Or maybe they're just trying to maintain a more girlish figure. At PetSmart, we have the right food for your pet. At a great value for you. PetSmart. Be better together.
Go to PetSmartDeal.com and save up to 30% on pawsome gifts for the pets and pet people in your life. Toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com today. PetSmartDeal.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Jones. I believe the better you get to know the jungle's wonderful creatures, the more you will care about them. And as you care about them, you'll want to join with me in efforts to protect them and save them from extinction. I want to draw your attention to the Jungle Deep website and the ways I am promoting tropical rainforest education and conservation. In addition to the awesome expert guests and regular reports from our wonderful field correspondents on the podcast, I am building a website with resources to help everyone, especially students, find helpful and motivating information. One example is the new Wildlife Theater, which will contain a collection of photos and videos of exotic animals from the jungles around the world. Top-notch zoos and other conservation groups are contributing content to the Jungle Deep Wildlife Theater. You will find the Jungle Deep website by going to www.jungledeep.com. It couldn't be easier. Check the Jungle Deep website often, because it is growing every week.
Dyson. The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radial root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to DysonDeals.com. DysonDeals.com to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
Jungle Deep.
Hey there, come with me to Jungle Deep, the podcast that explores the tropical lifestyle. We will see and hear exotic wildlife, enchanted places, tiki music, and island culture. We'll enjoy tropical cocktails, exotic foods, and jungle movies. We will hear from biologists, zoologists, and conservationists, and learn how to save the tropical rainforests. If you love nature and her creatures like I do, join us on the podcast
Jungle Deep.
Jungle Deep is a one-of-a-kind podcast that promotes conservation in a most entertaining way. If you want me to make more Jungle Deep episodes, let me know by making a donation to this environmental education podcast. If you would like, for a donation of $20 or more, I'll be happy to make a shout-out on the show. That's a short message about your favorite wildlife or conservation organization. You may send any amount by check mailed to me, the producer, Ken Jones, at P.O. Box 61, Murphy's, M-U-R-P-H-Y-S, California, 95247. You know, most people don't make a donation and just listen to the podcast for free. That makes your donation all the more important. The core message of Jungle Deep is that we need more people to participate in conservation. It's not enough to love nature. These days, caring about the environment absolutely requires action. Your action in support of this show will be used to grow Jungle Deep and to help me reach more people with our conservation message. Thank you.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Now, more of
Jungle Deep.
I want to ask you now, though, change gears here and talk about some of the events that are coming up and have happened. I know there's been some celebrations for Tarzan this year. Tell us quickly about those a little bit. How was your experience at the centennial celebration? What was your favorite moment at that event, for instance?
Well, there were two centennial celebrations in Tarzana, California. First one coincided with the release of the Disney John Carter film. And we had a special showing back in March on the Disney campus in their theater. And there is just a major centennial celebration at the Marriott Hotel, and with a multitude of guests and speakers. And that was the first one. That was the ECOF convention, the Edgar Rice Burroughs Circle of Friends. We had tours of Stanton Burroughs' house and Tarzana, and tours of the Edgar Rice Burroughs' offices and so on. Film showings and a multitude of presentations. So that was the first one. The next one sort of left the John Carter and science fiction theme, which was his first book, to celebrate Tarzan. This was in August. It's again at Tarzana. This time the theme was a little more in terms of acknowledging Tarzan. And Jane Goodall was the guest at our banquet. In fact, I host a Tarzan Yell contest, which my wife won the female version of.
Oh, really?
And famous artist Thomas Yates won the male category. But after that, while the judges, and of course the judges were Danton Burroughs' daughters and Johnny Weissmuller's granddaughter. And while they were deliberating contest, I went out. Jim Sullis of ERB Inc. had set up a special showing, an invitation to Jane Goodall to come down to this event. So I went out and escorted Jane Goodall in to thunderous applause and standing ovation. And she took the podium. She gave a short little talk, but she gave not a Tarzan yell, but she gave an authentic chimpanzee call, which again brought the house down.
I heard about that. I heard it was a big hit and a big surprise, actually, coming from this petite older woman, this rather realistic chimpanzee yell.
Yeah. Well, she's communicated, you know, with those sounds for so long, most for all of her adult life with chimps in Africa.
Right.
So it was just second nature for her.
I wish I could have seen it.
And she did an amazing talk at the Saturday banquet, which was a gigantic event with 300 people, filled the whole banquet hall. And the other guest was Jim Morris, the producer of the John Carter film from Disney. So we had two just amazing guests at that celebration, the 100th anniversary of the creation of Tarzan. Now, in between those two big events, my wife, Suwan, and I drove down to Morgan City, way, way south, the southern part of Louisiana, where the first Tarzan film had been filmed. And there was a major Tarzan festival down there as well. Those were the three major events. There's a multitude of book signings, and Tracy Griffin has come out with a centennial book on Burroughs and Tarzan. He's had signings on that. Robin Maxwell has written an amazing book through Jane's point of view, sort of a retelling of the Tarzan of the Apes, but through Jane's perspective.
Hmm.
There were a number of Tarzan film actors at the events in Tarzana. Danny Miller was there, of course. He's a real fan favorite. And Casper and Ron Ely and incredible event.
Uh-huh.
There was
a
talk or an introduction from George McWhirter, who couldn't make the trip because of ill health, but he's the curator of the Tarzan or the Edgar Rice Burroughs Memorial Collection at the University of Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave a very entertaining film talk to the people at the convention. And he's hosting an event on October 28th at the University of Louisville.
Mm. Wow. For those of you in that part of the country or able to travel there, tell us a little bit more. When is this event exactly?
The event at Louisville is basically a book signing, and a number of people will be making an appearance, including Edgar Rice Burroughs' grandson, John Ralston Burroughs, who had a major talk and presence at the previous conventions.
Mm.
And Denny Miller will be there with his new book, and of course Robin Maxwell will be there with her Jane book, and Tracy Griffin will be there with his centennial Tarzan.
And what was that date again?
The date was October 28th. It's at the Ekstrom Library, the rare book section at the University of Louisville in Louisville, Kentucky.
And I'll bet you have all the details on your website.
Yeah, it's all there. And also there will be members of the Burroughs family and the Edgar Rice Burroughs Incorporated offices in Tarzana, California, headed by Jim Sullis. Then there's another one in November at Bridgeport College. Dr. Stan Galloway is holding a Tarzan Centennial Conference at Bridgeport College in Bridgeport, Virginia.
And it's, wow. And what's the date on that?
That's November 1 to 4.
Wow.
And there's registration forums on the site.
Wow. So still plenty of things to do and ways to plug in, as I say, to get into the swing of things, Tarzan.
Well, yeah, it's been a really busy year. We've driven well over 10,000 miles just to events so far this year in between teaching our university classes.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's been a very busy summer.
Wow. Well, it's got to be true that your Herbzine website is the number one source of Tarzan information on the internet. Wouldn't that be fair to say?
I guess probably. You know, there are other major sites, but
can you share any with us? Do you know any off the top of your head that you could tell our listeners about?
Well, herblist.com is another major site, and there's quite a few indicator that we promote on our Herbzine site. Herbzine is the most active because we're on Facebook and Twitter as well. Every week, I put out a weekly webzine with 20 gigantic web pages of fiction and articles and comics and the whole bit.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's a whole other thing. We didn't even talk about comics. That's a whole aspect of it I haven't even looked at yet. It's a huge, huge world of Tarzan these days with all the movies that have been made. I understand if you include all the unapproved versions in other countries that there's been close to 100 movies made about Tarzan in these 100 years, and then all the books, and then comics. I hadn't even thought about that. That's all got to be another big area.
And, of course, hundreds of TV shows and hundreds of radio shows. The radio shows, you can hear them all on herbzine.com.
Really?
And they go back to 1932. And,
really? Oh, man, I got to delve into that. That'd be fun. I was going to ask you about if you were aware of today of any podcasts being done about Tarzan. Are there any Tarzan podcasts out there?
Well, I got too deeply into podcasts. Now, it's great to see the efforts you're doing right now. The whole podcasting thing is a little bit new.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Not many of them
yeah.
have been in touch with me. When they do come up, I promote them on the site.
Uh-huh. Well, what about, can you tell us anything about any movies that are under production at this time, Or, and the other thing I was thinking about, are there any theme park features that, you know, that feature Tarzan? Is Tarzan kind of represented in any theme parks out? You know, you know what I mean by theme parks?
Well, there's a Tarzan cabin in Disneyland. There has been over the years in Disneyland, Disney World, and also in France. Oh. And there were live stage things, French Park, in Hong Kong. Back a few years ago, Disney leased out rights to the Tarzan animated production of 1999, and it was turned into a stage musical.
Oh, really?
The premiere was on Broadway. Hmm. So we were down for that, and then we went over to Holland, and it was a major success there with it.
Tarzan musical.
And then we flew to. Then we went to Hamburg for opening night there, and then Tulcan in Utah, the outdoor amphitheater, and now various other small companies are staging the musical, you know, on smaller venues.
Wow. Who produced the music for these musicals? Do you know?
Phil Collins.
So these were all kind of a takeoff of the animation film then. Because he was it for the Tarzan animation.
Well, Phil Collins won an Academy Award for the main song on it, and he expanded it for the various musicals.
I see.
It was kind of fun sitting with Phil Collins and watching his reaction to his words in Dutch, and then his words in German.
It'd be fun just sitting with Phil Collins. Period. I think.
Well, it was a great visiting with Phil after in the after show premiere parties in those various locales, because he knew some of the people that my wife and I knew, because we've recorded and toured with music our band in England many times.
I bet that was a real treat. Now I have to ask a question. It just occurred to me: is the 1999 animation film done by Disney on Tarzan the first time Disney got involved with Tarzan? You would have thought that Disney would have plugged into that much sooner. Did they?
They had option to do the John Carter film back in the early 90s. No, that would be their first venture, first dabbling with the Tarzan character.
I think that's interesting. I would have thought they'd be involved, you know, because, I mean, look at all the movies they've done and all the topics and stories they've picked up. It seems like a natural for them.
Well, it certainly was. It turned out to be a natural for, you know, all the merchandising, and then they did an animated TV series based on it as well.
Yeah, it was a huge success from what I hear, any way you look at it.
Yes.
Once they did it, it was a big success for them. Is there anything new coming up that you know of? I hear there's a couple of movies in pre-production. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, there's a couple Tarzans. There's an excellent one coming out of Germany, and another one in the works through the United States. So there's always seems to be some sort of a Tarzan film or TV show in production.
There's been on average one a year, just talking about movies, for 100 years. So it just may continue like that for another 100 years.
It's been a very successful franchise.
Well, he is the king of the jungle, and the jungle is a very important, dominating kind of place in the world of nature. I mean, the rainforest is where most of the species of the world live. It's not surprising that it should be the focus of so much material. If you ask me, it seems like a natural. I'm sure there'll be a lot more coming up. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Bill?
The website certainly covers it all, I think. For people who get lost in the labyrinth of a verb scene, there is a Google search on the front page where keywords can be put in. Those keywords will direct you to things just on the site. If you put in Mars, then you get all the Mars references. If you put in Tarzana, you get the Tarzana references, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Why don't you spell that for us, just so there's no doubt? What's that website again?
Well, the Herbzine one is www.erbzine, or Z-I-N-E, I guess, for Americans, Z-I-N-E.com.
Very good. And is there any other way, if people have specific questions for you on this topic, how would you like them to put forth those questions? Is there some way they can get in touch with you or someone on the site?
We have a number of Facebook sites where there's interaction. herbzine.tarzan. My email address is at the bottom of every one of the 10,000 web pages. So every day I get about 300 to 400 emails on different topics. So it takes a few hours every morning just to sort through the email.
Yes, you have. It sounds overwhelming, all that you do. You want to give us that email address, though, and let a few million more people know what it is?
Well, the email address. The email address is, well, there's a number of them, but I guess herbzine@westman.wave.ca.
Okay. Well, you set that one aside, and let's see if you get any bump in the numbers of people contacting you. But most of the things that people are going to want to know are going to be on that Herbzine website, because it's extensive. So is your knowledge on this subject. You've been working with this for so long. You're a real resource. I really appreciate you being on this extended interview with us and telling us about the Tarzan world. And I very much appreciate your time.
Before we go, I should mention the Edgar Rice Burroughs Incorporated company have a corporate website. And it's just EdgarRiceBurroughs.com. In the wings, or about to launch, is an all-new series of Tarzan Sunday pages. That there will be an online subscription offered where people can see them all online. All new wonderful art, and every week a new Sunday page online. To EdgarRiceBurroughs.com.
That's terrific. That's great for the Tarzan fans that want to stay plugged in and get their Tarzan fix every week.
Yeah. Right? Well, and of course, you can go back right to 1928 with the Tarzan Sunday pages and daily strips, and there are hundreds of them already featured on Herbzine.
Oh my goodness! Well, thank you so much, Bill. You've given us just a wealth of resources and material here. It's been a lot of fun talking to you. Thank you very much for being on Jungle Deep. I hope you'll come back. You're going to have to kind of keep us posted as to what's happening in the world of Tarzan.
Well, I certainly look forward to it, and be checking your site to keep posted on your developments.
I appreciate so much you being on the show, so thank you very much.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and just a great joy to talk with you.
Bye-bye, Bill.
Okay, bye-bye.
Environmental education, wildlife preservation, tropical rainforest conservation, all wrapped up in fun, juicy, delicious American jungle culture of the past and present. Be sure to share Jungle Deep Podcast with your friends and coworkers. Contact me if you would like to reach our audience with your advertising message. Audience growth is especially important for Jungle Deep to succeed and prosper, so share the show. You can see beautiful photos and learn more about Jungle Deep at our website, jungledeep.com. You gotta check it out. Where else can you go for this kind of fun? Our show notes pages have valuable links for you. I invite you to email me at ken@jungledeep.com or follow me on Twitter. Search for Jungle Deep or KenJones56, all one word. I would love to hear your ideas for the show. Well, the show's over for today, so it's time to refill my Mai Tai, mount my elephant, and head back into the jungle.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.